can one guy be? I kissed her.
Welcome back.
She kissed me.
From the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Royce White. This is the Belly of the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm just talking to you this Sunday. I'm just talking to you. I'm on my way out. You see, I'm a little dressed up. I usually am not dressed up, but I did just get a good set of suits here. So I don't know. I don't know. The more they try and stick men in these bell-bottom hybrid dresses and high-platform shoes, the more and more I just... And I always love suits and menswear, and, you know, I have worn suits a lot in my life. When I got into politics, one, you know, some of these political events and, you know, political outings can be a little dangerous. Plus, you know, I like to invade a communist protest every now and then. So suits not really great attire for that type of thing. And even more so, I can't stand the archetype of a politician in a suit telling you to give them their vote, and they got the little lapel pin and the you know, the silk tie and the silk stockings. It's all very, permanent political class, over-credentialized, over-educated, under-intelligent, more information with not enough wisdom that got us in the crisis. I'm going to start wearing a suit a little more. Point is, tangent, side tangent, I'm on my way to a little romantic evening, okay? But I wouldn't miss Alex Jones for anything. Valentine's Day weekend, on my way to a little romantic evening, so I'm a little dressed up. I'm just talking to you. I'm just talking to you this weekend. If we continue to let women lead this country, it will collapse. It will collapse. The future of this nation rests upon the edge of a blade. We are so close. We are so close to the point of no return. And there are men now, as described in Scripture, the watchmen, who are on the tower sounding the alarm for a number of different reasons. And we can slice the atom a million different ways. We can bring up a million different problems. But what is the common denominator? The common denominator is men have been too weak to stand up to these women. That's the common denominator. Even the men who, and it's not even direct. It's like subconscious. Subconsciously, men realize that they're going to have a better chance in the romantic marketplace if they have a liberal point of view, or if at least they pretend they have a liberal point of view, front-facing, in the public, on social media. And so we get a warped sense of reality, because our reality is gone digital. In a world that's gone digital and everybody's trying to fake it, how do you know what's real and what's not? Especially with the introduction of AI getting as good as it is, we are almost to the point of no return. And the men who stand up to say, wait a second, wait a second, wait a second. Maybe we shouldn't go down that dark alley. That alley's a little dark, it's a little sketchy. I see some shadowy figures down there in that alley, you know, maybe untrustworthy, maybe a little dangerous down there. Yeah, not to make it, but as a motif, the white girl in the movie, the white girl in the horror movie always trips and falls. She always walks right into the killer's lap. I never even watch horror movies. They're frustrating. They're not realistic. Black people, we never liked. I don't know. I never liked horror movies. You ever hear the stereotype about black people and you know, with horror movies? It's like a black person wouldn't walk down that dark alley. We're walking past that alley and we take one look at it and we go, we'll walk around. We'll go three more blocks before we have if something is down that alley. If the address, the place we're going, is actually down that alley, then I guess I'm just not gonna make it. But we're not going. I don't know. The white liberal woman is a perfect example. It's like, just come live in our country, Honduran rapists. Sure. I mean, why not?
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I'm here to just tell you what it really is. We can circle the wagons. We can get real granular about the details. Take it. I don't want to be your therapist. I don't want to be your coach, your life coach. Let me be your uncle. I think the 33-year-olds now they refer to as unk. 30 seems young to me. Maybe that's because I always hung out with boomers, but let me be your uncle. You men are chasing these women, and it's out of control. It's completely and utterly out of control. There's nothing wrong with a great woman. There's nothing wrong with having fun with women. There's nothing wrong with pursuing women or dating women. There's nothing wrong with any of that. The problem is when you give your politics over because of your romantic pursuits. That is just, it's unconscionable. Really, it really is. It's unconscionable that's become normal in our society. The feminist movement is the most successful political movement in recent American history. By far, it's not even close. By far. The most successful movement in recent American history. Rivaled only by the MAGA and America First movement that we're holding together, by a thread. Holding this movement together by a thread. We better understand that. Because the mob rule is at our door. The mob rule is at our door. And some of us have a good idea of what happens next. And, some of us have a good concept of a post-civilized America. Some of us will be ready. I hope more people than not are getting ready, getting prepared. The best thing to be is prepared. We hope for the best. We prepare for the worst. The worst case scenario is this country devolves into full-blown civil war. A post-civilized America. That's the worst case scenario. Best case scenario is we just start to do things with some logic. And the logical thing to do is stop letting women lead. That's logical. Because when you let women lead, it's like all these women I see with cats. They let their cat go on outside and, they leave their window open and cat's perched up in the window. You can tell I've, had my rounds with some pretty wild liberal women. No, it's from experience. This is not conjecture. It's not an opinion. This is an academic. Okay? This is firsthand experience. And you pull up to her house and she's got like a cat in the window. That's the first sign you should turn around and go back home. But okay, cats are cool. I don't trust them, but hey, if If you like cats, you like cats. I got it. But they let their cats just kind of roam around outside and come and go as they please. And they think that's cool. They like be a part of the wild and some mystic, you know, bohemian fantasy they have going on that you become a part of. And little do they know, you know, cats, they end up with these parasites, and their owners end up with these parasites in their brain. It's just like Alex Jones trying to tell you guys about the atrazine in the water and it turning the frogs gay. People were like, that's crazy. And then all of a sudden you look up and what do you know? There's too much atrazine in the water. Turns frogs gay. Wow. It's the same thing with cats. I get the same sense with cats. I don't mean to make it a segment about cats, but it's an example. It's like these women are losing their minds. Hand over fist. Losing their minds. And it scares me that none of them notice they have the same look. They have the same look and they have the same tone of voice. They have the same philosophy about life. But more scary, they have the same look. So why do you all look the same? Why do you all dress up in the hipster goth, you know, pink, purple, green hair, you know, borderline satanic symbolism? Like the Billie Eilish's, don't you all notice that you're a part? It's like you're a part of some interconnected global cult that doesn't even have any central organization. It's completely metaphysical. Completely metaphysical. It makes it really scary. Probably the most scary thing is the subconscious connection of satanic women all around the world with no organization whatsoever. Purely metaphysical. Purely spiritual. And that's what we have to, that's what we're in a fight against. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. When you see a Native American woman from Minnesota, a professor from the University of Minnesota, say, we need to be dismantling the United States, the heteropatriarchy. I just think to myself, in what world is this even appropriate to say? In what world is it even appropriate to think, let alone say? We need to dismantle the United States. You live here. You live here. And, you know, not to be rude, but a lot of you Native Americans or indigenous people are a long way from knowing how to live on the land yourselves. Let's just be honest. A lot of modernization, you know, ran through the ranks of some of these Native American tribes and reservations too. That's why you own casinos. There's nothing more modern than a casino. There's nothing more modern than a casino, than a casino resort. So don't act like, you know, you guys are living in the backwoods of your ancestral land anymore. And what happens when the United States is dismantled? Where are people going? Where are people, what are people doing in the post United States of America? Because you don't even look in shape enough to walk a good 2-3 miles on a treadmill. It all sounds good, you know, it all sounds good in a vacuum. It sounds good in their head. And that's the problem with a lot of these postmodern liberal women. Their ideas sound good in their head. And because men want to get laid, they never stop them and go, that's a stupid idea. Where'd you get that from? A book of bad ideas? I'm one of those guys. I'll just tell a woman straight up, you're stupid, dumb, retarded. Oh, sorry, I've said a bad word. Saw a couple evangelical Christian conservatives on Facebook telling me I shouldn't use the word retarded. Are you retarded? Of course I should. There's no other way to describe it. There's no other way to describe a political philosophy that says everybody should be able to come live in our country and we should pay them. We should pay you all to come live here, huh? The murderers, the rapists, the drug dealers, the human traffickers, the predators, pedophiles, we should let them all come live here. We should rehabilitate them. We could fix them. Some shit you just can't fix. Some things you just can't fix. Liberal white woman, yuppie leftist white woman from the art quarter, from the art district. And there's an art district in every city. There's a, you see what I mean? They all live in the same area. It's weird. If you drive through the area, you know, it smells like marijuana and kitty litter. Sorry, yuppie woman from the art district. We're not going to let all these people come live in our country. We're not going to let them come live in our communities. Where were your protests when the illegal foreign invader raped and murdered a young black woman and threw her on the side of the highway? Where were your protests? Where were your protests when an illegal foreign invader was drinking and got behind the wheel, killed a young black woman and her daughter? Where were you? You were nowhere to be found. Because it's not about black people. It's not about black women. It's not about women. It's not even about the LGBTQ. Although you do get a sick and perverse satisfaction of turning a man into a woman. And we know what that stems from, your hatred of men, the heteropatriarchy. It's why they're saying the quiet part out loud. It's not about history. It's not about what happened to the Native Americans. It's not about what happened to the natives in this country. It's about the heteropatriarchy. Do you mean to tell me? And just as a matter of inquiry, is transgenderism big in the Native American community? I haven't met one transgender Native American in my entire life. Honest to God, I've never met a transgender Native American. So what connection is there between the plight of the LGBTQ and the Native Americans? It's a complete non sequitur. They have a non sequitist political philosophy. And these people are professors at our universities, our prestigious historic universities, the University of Minnesota, one of the Big Ten collegiate institutions in this country, 60,000 people. 60,000 people, the University of Minnesota. And they want to dismantle the United States, the heteropatriarchy. Can we all agree what the problem is? Can we all just, for once and for all, can we all just take a step back from all the other things and say, you know what? Come on, guys. Really? What are we doing here? I mean, how long are we going to let this go on? How long are we going to let this go on? We're going to dismantle the heteropatriarchy, all straight men? What kind of sick and twisted? It's just, you know what? I don't know. I'm probably just a toxic man, suffers from a severe bout, a severe case of toxic masculinity. Maybe that's the case. But I'm a really nice guy if you get to know me. I really am. Just don't cross America. Don't cross America. Don't cross Christ. Don't try to undo the natural order of things. You can be as sinful as you want in the natural order of things, but don't try and undo the natural order and force it upon us. That's not going to work. That I could do a lot of things for you. I could be very, tolerant. I'm a very tolerant individual. I'm open to your point of view. If you think that the horoscopes and you know, the numerologists have a better take on life in the world and are more wise than let's say, St. Thomas Aquinas or Aristotle, Jesus Christ himself, fine. Let me hear it. Let me hear what you're working with. Might be some good insights in those fortune cookies. I'm all good with that. People can think what they want and they can say what they want. You have a right to say you want to dismantle the heteropatriarchy. It's just hard for me to believe that any broad swath of the American populace would vote for that political worldview. And you wonder how we got a Jeffrey Epstein. You see, and that's what I worked my way up to here over the course of this hour and a half, is the way you get a Jeffrey Epstein is when you neuter your society, the predators proliferate. The predators proliferate when you neuter your society. When you strip the men of all their masculinity, all their courage, their natural born courage, their biological instincts, when you, when you culturate natural masculine instincts out of the men in your population, you end up with these weird people. Weird people in the intelligence community who would even have the idea that an international human trafficking pedophile ring is a viable option for intelligence gathering or blackmail. That's what happens when you don't have real men to say, you know what, if in order to defeat the Chinese or the Russians or the Muslim Brotherhood or Mossad and whatever future conflicts are to unfold, we have to resort to international pedophile human trafficking, then we'll die. We'll die on our sword. We'll die on our cross. Unfortunately, our intelligence community selects for people who are socio and psychopathic. The official guidances have sociopathic and psychopathic tendencies. You know, what's the difference? What's the difference, really? So we all have sociopathic tendencies, do we? I don't know. Some of this psychology is a little pseudo-intellectual, if you ask me. I don't really consider myself to be a sociopath. I'm capable of violence, that's for sure. But I'm not sociopathic about the violence. I'm remorseful, even if I have to do violence. And that there is a difference. There's a distinction to make between people who have sacred honor, even in the context of war and violence. People who are sociopathic have no remorse for the violence they do or the violence they may have to do. That's what the Epstein saga is an example of. An intelligence community, intelligence agencies all around the world who have lost their sacred honor. And on the cold trail down losing your sacred honor, of course you end up at sexual perversion of the most unimaginable manifestations. Of course. It's not by accident. It's not a coincidence. It's not happenstance that you would land there. It's like take a right turn down Dumbsville and you end up in, you know, a sexual cult is what they ended up in. And it is. The intelligence community is a sex cult. That's what we're finding out. That's what we're finding out here. The intelligence community is an international sex cult. Some weird, freaky people. With too much power. That's the point. Some weird, freaky people with too much power. You can be a weird, freaky person. Don't get me wrong. Again, if you're 6'5" and you have hair on your back and you like to wear a spaghetti dress on the weekends, hey, you're an American citizen. Just don't think I'm going to call you a woman. And don't think I'm going to hold back my laughter when you walk into the restaurant there on a Saturday evening, you know, with a pink spaghetti strap halter top, a tutu, and you got hair on your back and your knuckles. I'm gonna laugh at you. And if you wanna fight, then I'm all game for that too. Hopefully it's not a homoerotic fight. But I'm all game for that too. Just call the balls and strikes, man. We just need to start calling the balls and strikes on these things. We can fix this country. It's not all doom and gloom. We could fix this country. We could fix this country tomorrow. But Amy Klobuchar ain't going to fix this country. AOC ain't going to fix this country. The Chuck Schumers of the world aren't going to fix this country. The Mitch McConnells of the world aren't going to fix the country. President Trump, flaws and all, the credit you got to give him is at least he was willing, at least he's putting up a fight. And I know people are going to say, well, what about that? What about that? Look, the border's closed, crime is down, the economy is up. The border's closed, crime is down, the economy is up. Iran's the next thing on the horizon. Are we going to get sucked into another greater Israel endeavor? I hope not. I sure hope not. We're going to lay down some rolling thunder like we did on the nuclear sites? Hey, okay. You know, we saw already that isn't overtaxing. Again, I'll say it again like I said the last time we did it. I don't even know if I should. I don't like seeing us pull the Nimitz, and we didn't do it this time, but as a principle, I didn't like when we pulled the Nimitz out of the South China Sea. Our national mortal enemy is the CCP. Our number one priority is the South China Sea. We are an Indo-Pacific power. We are not an Atlantic power. You let the Europeans, and I said this about Israel already, let the Europeans protect Israel. Let the Europeans defend Israel. Let the Europeans, backstop Israel. It's their deal. It's their deal. First of all, the majority of the Israelis there are European in descent. They're European Jews, most of them. And it was Europe that forced them out of Europe in the first place. Let them pay the toll. What does it have to do with us? What does it have to do with us? Because a bunch of evangelical Christians are more interested in, more involved in Israel's politics than they are our own. If not, the Jeffrey Epsteins of the world, you wouldn't have allowed the Patriot Act. You wouldn't have allowed all of this surveillance state and intelligence community, nonsense to transgress your rights all along the way. The people who you elected to represent you, who smiled in your face, who smiled and waved with their stupid little lapel pins and their silk stockings and tie, they smiled in your face and they told you how Christian they were. They told you how conservative they were, but what did they conserve? They sure as hell didn't conserve your privacy. They sure as hell didn't uphold Christian morals or ethics in the intelligence community or the military. What did they conserve? Under their rule, under their tutelage, we have the greatest international human trafficking pedophile ring in known human history. That's what we got. You got to check your ranks. And I'm talking to you evangelical Christians too. Don't sit here and try and act like this Jeffrey Epstein thing has nothing to do with Israel. Has everything to do with Israel. Everything. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Failure of masculinity has led to the crisis of femininity. We're going to talk about it a little bit more on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, methylene blue is incredible, and we have the very best you're going to find anywhere at thealexjonesstore.com. What it's done to my clarity, my mind, my focus has just been wild. My workouts have been so much better. We have the best, ultramethylene blue, at thealexjonesstore.com. Here's what some of the guests on the show experienced when they took it, and Joe Rogan and others talking about my transformation that methylene blue has been a big part of.
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight, man.
I saw he's getting like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
he? Yeah, he's losing all weight. Taking back my health.
You're so good at that.
That's the only impression I could do.
Hey, Alex looks good, man.
He lost some weight.
He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts.
He's definitely one of my bucket list people to meet at some point.
Oh, I can introduce you to Alex.
Yeah.
We can make that happen for sure.
Come on. It's so noticeable. I was like, wow, he looks handsome.
But I text Alex all the time. I know him. He's just losing weight. But if you go online, there's a lot of people that believe that this is like a different person. He looks great. That's all it is. He looks great.
Here's your daily motivation. Alex Jones is 51 years old. He's been through more shit than you will ever go through. The deep state has come for his life. They have come for his business. They fined him billions of dollars for free speech. Alex Jones has had his rights stripped away. They've tried to take this man's life for speaking truth. Alex Jones went from looking like this to looking now like this. Alex Jones is getting ripped. Alex Jones is getting yoked. It's showing all of us that no matter our age, no matter what's thrown at us in life, no matter how many troubles or trials that we have, what really matters is who you are on the rock-ribbed inside. Do you have gunpowder in your gut? Do you have some grit in your teeth? Can you be a man in the face of all of it? Your promised struggles in this life, can you punch back? Alex Jones is a motivation and a vibe today.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something, what a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah.
Certain facts that have to be kept hidden. That's fine. The desire of our government to destroy people who have no idea what they've tripped over because our government isn't good enough to keep its own secrets. This is an abomination. You cannot destroy your A-team.
Who are you referring to when you say people are being destroyed? Are you referring to people like yourself?
You know, if you look at, for example, Jeffrey Epstein, conducted a conference called Confronting Gravity. I don't know who Jeffrey Epstein was, but I would certainly bet money that he was a product of at least one or more elements of the intelligence community.
The CIA, the FBI?
Those are ours, right? Department of Homeland Security has some of the stuff. Geospatial intelligence has some of this. You know, it's a large network. I'm talking about people like David Grush. I'm talking about people potentially like David Fravor. I'm talking about people like Jake Barber. I'm talking about scientists like Leo Szilard. Imagine if Leo Szilard didn't know that the Manhattan Project was going on, or Jack Raper, a journalist who broke a story. These people all think that they're doing their jobs. I desperately want to know why Jeffrey Epstein knew so much about my work. And I want to know why he was connected to my graduate program. I was in the Harvard Mathematics Department. Jeffrey Epstein was absolutely connected to the Harvard Math Department. I want to know why.
How was he connected to the math department?
You're pushing me to say things I'm not going to say.
But well, I'm curious. I'm not trying to push you.
I understand, but I'm just not going to do it. I'm saying that anybody who wants
You say he was connected to the math department?
To the Harvard Mathematics Department.
How did you know he was connected?
You can Google it. You could Google it right now. This is not... I can point at all sorts of stuff that's hidden in plain sight.
So I'll take your word for it. And the assertion that I'm picking up on is that Jeffrey Epstein was planted in your world to keep...
I'm not saying he's planted. I don't know who he was. I don't know who ran him. He certainly was not a financier in any standard sense.
Really?
That was a cover story, yes.
The way that we know Jeffrey Epstein... in the UK especially, it's just this guy who was this rich guy who had this island, who brought people there and then did these despicable things.
Disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, that's the story.
Disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. It's called Perseveration. He was a disgraced financier. What kind of a financier? A disgraced one. What was his name? Oh, he was disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. They perseverate that into your mind so that you auto-complete that in your LLM life. Do you believe that that's what Jeffrey Epstein was?
You met him.
Was he a financier? He wasn't a financier the day I met him.
What was he?
He was a weird guy who didn't seem to know a lot about currency trading. Claiming to run a multi-billion dollar FX hedge fund.
When you say a weird guy, what made him weird?
Same stuff I've said on Chris Williams. I'm not going to go back through that. Just my point is you're getting a different interview. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to get at is Jeffrey Epstein knew a tremendous amount about my work when nobody knew anything about my work. And he had a pipeline into me that I didn't understand, which is that he was connected to my graduate program. And you can check out the conference called Exploring Gravity.
And hosted a physical workshop called Confronting Gravity.
Confronting Gravity, that's right.
In March 2006.
Yeah, what is Jeffrey Epstein? Jeffrey Epstein is very focused on gravity.
Was it a gravity conference?
Yeah.
It was about gravity?
Yeah.
What the fuck was he doing talking about bloody gravity if he's a financier?
It was very important to get Nobel laureates and some of the smartest people on Earth to come to the Virgin Islands and talk about gravity. Stephen Hawking was there. David Gross was there. Lawrence Krauss was there. Lisa Randall was there right before his conviction. And I'm telling you, he was very focused on the Harvard Math Department. And he knew all about me in ways that he wasn't supposed to.
I have to be clear on my understanding of what you're saying. From what I understood, and you can say, Steve, I'm not going to answer that, whatever, but I just have to, because you've opened up a curiosity hole in my mind,
sure.
So let me try and fill it, even if it's the conversation I had with Chris.
I'll just evade you.
Fine. You're within the right to evade me, and I hold the right to ask, which is, what I'm hearing is you believe, and I'm just going to say it how I think it, is what I'm hearing is you believe that Jeffrey Epstein... was not a financier. He was planted in some way to interfere.
He was a construct, is what I said.
He was a construct in some way to mess with the progression of physics.
Jeffrey Epstein, apparently, I think some... I'll tell you what I said. When I met him, when the meeting was over, I immediately called my wife and I said... I have just met a construct. She said, what do you mean? I said, this person is not who they claim to be. Somebody has constructed this human being to be something that they are not, which is a hedge fund genius, somebody who could understand the Euro. I believe that whoever constructed Jeffrey Epstein was running multiple different programs through the same thing, having put in a large initial investment. It wasn't about one thing. If you build a mall, you don't just have clothing stores in the mall. You have a food court in the mall, right? You have jewelry in the mall.
Okay, bring me out.
You have
bring
all
me
sorts
in.
Of different things in the mall. Jeffrey Epstein was a construct of something.
That was the clip. You can go and watch the rest of the interview yourself. And look, am I saying what Eric is laying out there is the truth? Am I going to say what Eric's real involvement was with Epstein? I can't say any of those things. But what I can say is I'm doing my best to gather as much information as possible, because I do think the Jeffrey Epstein thing is important. It's just so convoluted that I think it's naive and somewhat reckless to jump to conclusions about it. And that goes, that's nationwide. I mean, that's worldwide, because it's a worldwide issue. How do I know? A 34-year-old man from, you know, Podunk, Minnesota. Who could even imagine? Conference on gravity? What are we even talking about here? An international human trafficking pedophile, supposed to be a stock trader, and he's holding a conference on gravity? What are we even talking about here? I have no clue. I'm still trying to gather the information. And I promise you, when I've gathered enough information that it's like I was saying about the women. I'm pretty sure about that. I mean, I'm almost certain that we have a problem that we're letting too many women lead this country and maybe society writ large. I'm very confident about that from personal experience. It's like in my own life, in my own community, in my own state. But when we start talking about espionage at this level, all we can rely on is the information that comes out of the same belly of the beast that we want to dismantle and distrust. That is a very awkward position for us to be in as the American people. I find myself in an awkward position, because even here I'm reading some of these files and I'm going, well, how do I know which files are real and which ones aren't? I mean, as if there couldn't be fake files in the Epstein files. Of course there could. Of course there could. That's not an out for anybody in the files. I'm just saying, if you let yourself get so upside down with the names that are mentioned in the files, you lose sight of the fact that there was something going on here that I don't even think many people in the intelligence community have a good grasp of. And this is my honest to God take on the thing. Jeffrey Epstein and this entire operation is much deeper, much darker than we could possibly imagine. And the low-hanging fruit, and I say the low-hanging fruit because at the end of the day, pedophilia is a grave, grave injustice and sadistic thing to do. But it would appear to me that it was ritualistic piece of a much bigger plot and agenda for the rest of us. A ritualistic piece of a much bigger plot and agenda for the rest of us. And the bigger plot is what we have to be concerned about. That's just the way it is, you know, and people can use this like anything else. And here it's another way for us to, you know, to distract ourselves, more or less. Distract, like I said, the elections still aren't secure. Well, we're going to pass the SAVE Act tomorrow. Well, okay, well, early voting's already begun in some states. So we're burning daylight here. Now, I think the executive order's coming down. And God bless, again, the president showing that, you know, even if you disagree completely, you have to agree that at least for whatever set of circumstances finds us in the position we're in today, in this timeline, President Trump is willing to upset the apple cart. And I'll say this as well. And this takes me to the very limits of what I can articulate without having wrote it down and kind of mapped it out. And I don't use any notes. I don't have any notes here because the truth really shouldn't need notes. But the higher level you get when you talk about existential reality, metaphysics, philosophy, it gets complex in there. But there is a real question that we struggle with about free will and predetermination that is sort of fundamental to all of our questions, all of the answers, the way we live. The way we live, more pertinent to what I'm talking about right now, the way we think about things, the way we think about individuals. I think we look at individuals as on a path, and the end of that path is already predetermined. See, we talk about people, and I say this as an olive branch to our fellow countrymen and women on the left. Your path is not predetermined in my mind. You could easily wake up tomorrow and say, you know what? Maybe we should have a border. Perfect. Now we're getting somewhere. Great. You could wake up tomorrow and go, you know what? Men really can't get pregnant. We should probably just dead that noise. Great. Great. Your path isn't predetermined is my point. Nobody's path is predetermined. And I think even on the right, we're getting caught up in this mania where President Trump does something we like or don't like, and all of a sudden it's like, well, that's it. That's the end. So much for it's like, come on, God, seriously? We better pray. And if you think that President Trump is compromised or that he may not be in full control of this White House, that there may be forces inside this White House that are subversive, that are not in full support of the mandate we voted in, you better pray. You better pray that President Trump finds the discernment to steer this ship in the right direction. Because I guarantee you this, no amount of nihilism, no amount of cynicism is going to save this country. I'll say it again. You better pray he finds the discernment to steer this country in the right direction, because no amount of nihilism or cynicism is going to save us now. The only thing that can save us now are citizens with some national honor and sacred honor who stand at the ready to do their civic duty, to do their patriotic duty, led by leaders who still have sacred honor. Or maybe even who remember sacred honor. Who will pivot to sacred honor at this nation's most dire moments. And that's what we have to pray for. That's what we have to hope for. That is where the hope is. That's where the hope lies. That is the story, the story of the evolution of mankind. At each turn, mankind has faced pivotal choices with great moral and ethical implications, with great spiritual implications. Sometimes we've rose to the occasion, sometimes we haven't. Sometimes we did. The founding of this country, we rose to the occasion. Abolishing slavery, another time, we rose to that occasion. 1913, failure. Failure. Inception of the Federal Reserve, failure. World War I, World War II, failures. Post-World War II, democratic liberal order, Cold War with Russia, failure. Vietnam War, failure. The internet, to be decided, to be decided. Artificial intelligence, to be decided. Great questions in front of us, and there are no easy answers. But an answer can never be for us to revert to the same sort of nihilism that we see on the far left. The same sort of nihilism that, because you might as well be the indigenous woman that we showed at the beginning in the cold open. You might as well be her. Let's just dismantle the United States. And there are people on the right who say similar things. They say it from a different street corner. They say it from a different perspective, a different vantage. But it's the same net result. You don't believe in a country. And more importantly, you don't believe that it can be fixed. You don't believe that we could actually have a society that functions and works. Of course we can. Of course we can. Don't let these satanic pedophiles discourage you from what we all know is possible. It's possible for us to have a functioning society. It's possible for us to have a peaceful and prosperous, productive society. We just have to choose it. We have to believe that free. And yes, here again, I find a huge concern with my own Christian community. Maybe we let Satanists take this country over. Maybe we let Satanists and communists take this country over because pastors and preachers make more money off of telling you how to live your life on the road to revelations than they do in telling you how to be an active Christian, the salt of the earth. Maybe it's much easier for them to collect your money and wear, $1,000 snakeskin shoes and travel around in limousines and private jets. Maybe it's much, much easier for them to rape you of your money in that framework of human existence. Because if there's no such thing as sin, if there's no such thing as free will, then there's really no such thing as sin. If there's no such thing as sin, which a lot of Protestant Christians believe, hey, you believe in Jesus Christ, he already died for your sins. There is no sin. And that is a seismic divide in our Christian community between the Protestants and the Catholics. And in the Catholics, you got a problem with pedophilia as well in the deep church. And we find ourselves, in our own sort of Spider-Man meme here in the Christian community. But one thing we know for certain is Dr. Octopus is on the way. Dr. Octopus is working, he's not stopping in the whole Spider-Man meme. He's acting out his agenda. We better get real clear real quick. Do we all just want to stick our heads in the sand and wait for the afterlife? Fine. If that's the way you go about things, I don't know. It's just never been my way. I'm a fighter. I'll fight intellectually. I'll fight physically. I'll fight until my dying breath. I'll take a good fight. I'll take a bad fight. Give me a bad fight. Give me a 2-on-1. Give me a 3-on-1. Give me the deep state. When I first decided to get into politics, I could have ran in a Republican district. I could have moved to a different state and ran, and I'd be in the House already. Give me Ilhan Omar. Okay. Republicans didn't want me to run against Ilhan Omar in the general. Fine. Give me Amy Klobuchar. All right. Town member didn't want to endorse me. He must like Amy Klobuchar more than he likes good old America First Royce White. I get it. He's got more Israel money coming out of his gills than a fish has water coming out of his gills. Fine. Give me the entire Minnesota Democratic Mafia. Belly of the Beast. I'll take them all on. I'll take them all on by myself. Doesn't matter. Thank God I got some help from the great Mike Lindell. Thank God Mike Lindell had the sacred honor to jump in here and say, you know what, I'm going to run for God. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the help, sir. Thank you for getting involved, man. Thank you for providing some backup here because I feel like I'm in a nightmare. Rhinos to the left of me, rhinos to the right, stuck in the middle with you. And it's going to be a dogfight in this primary. Spread the word far and wide. Spread the word. If there's not a good example of our Christian crisis in this country, then the NRSC, again, putting up pro-choice Michelle Tafoya is a slap in the face to the entire Christian base. And it's a concession to the left. It's a concession to the communists. And does that surprise us? Does it surprise us that Mitch McConnell and the boys... Mitch McConnell and the boys would pull a stunt like that? That's who Tim Scott is. That's who Steve Daines was. They're running dogs. Running dogs for Mitch McConnell and the CCP. And they're subversive. They are. Maybe they'll start a Senate subcommittee investigation into me. Go ahead, boys. Go ahead, tap my phone. I've said it already. You can't blackmail me because my naked pictures are a sight to behold. Release the files, please. Release the files. Maybe I should release my own files. Maybe that's the only way the mainstream media will even cover me. Because when you talk about the Federal Reserve and fractional reserve banking, the mainstream media, they seem to be toned. They seem to be deaf. You know, they seem to be, bad at hearing. You can't talk about fractional reserve banking. You can't talk about the post-World War II Democrat liberal order. You can't talk about globalism. You can't talk about the dangers of a proliferated surveillance state or intelligence apparatus. Can't talk about the Five Eyes. Can't talk about trade agreements, basic economics. Basic economics, trade agreement. Can't talk about trade. You can either cuck for illegal immigrants, unfettered, unlimited illegal immigration, or you can do the race bait. That's who they put the microphone in front of. Maybe if I just release my own files, my own beautiful naked images. I will make them real artistic. I'll do it. Remember they used to do those Sports Illustrated, those beautiful Sports Illustrated spreads, and every year there was like a man who was like, you know, made of brawn, he was muscular, but there was like a naked photo shoot in Sports Illustrated of a man every year. Maybe I need to do something like that. I don't know. But one thing I can say for sure is that we've reached a point in this country where we better start picking real leaders real fast. Or else we're going to look up and President Xi and the boys are going to have their fist so far up our rear end, they'll be working us like a puppet. They're already, but it's metaphorically. I mean literally. Literally. We're already a tributary state. And they look at us as a tributary state. We don't make a huge turn here. We're going to become a real slave state. And they won't have to make landfall. No. The Mamdanis and the Jacob Frys. Mayor Mamdani and Jacob Fry are the running dogs for the CCP, the same way Tim Scott is a running dog for Mitch McConnell. They're all working to the same end, the fall of this country. We can stand up. There is hope. The hope is stop letting all these women lead. We can't be a nation of eunuchs. Stop letting them neuter us. It's been another episode. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless. God bless America.
Got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. To everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that. It's.
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean compared
just
to
just the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's
so this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways, I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue. At theologyshowstore.com.
Unlimited power.